Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Bet $100 and you get $100 at WynnBET.com or download the WynnBET app and start winning today. State restrictions do apply. And we're also brought to you by the Sports Gambling Podcast Final Four Watch Party. It's April 1st at 7:30. SGP will be at the Ice House in Los Angeles, so go hang out with the crew. All the info is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/icehouse. All right, DGens, welcome back to the WGC Match Play Bracket Show. I'm sure we'll do a quick little recap of Flash and Fleetwood and the Valspar. But it's your boy, Boston Capper, with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer. Steve, what's up, man? How are you, buddy?
Oh, there's the nickname back. Flaccid Fleetwood. That is a callback to the original shows back in what? When did we start doing this? 2021,
I think. Yeah, I think so.
You were totally anti-Tommy at that point because everybody used to always pick him.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, he loses everybody money. And then no one picked him. And then now everybody was picking him last weekend. He showed his true colors.
Yeah, he had such a lackluster round on Sunday, man. What was funny is like I actually had hope when he actually finally birdied 11 on Sunday, because he had trouble with 11, the easiest hole on the fucking course all week. Yeah. And I was like, oh shit, okay, all right. And then no thank you, bye bye Tommy.
Yep. Yeah, he put what was on 14, the par 5, he put the bunker shot in, or his pro shot in the worst way. I was thinking he probably, I was like, why aren't you laying up here? Like, this is a lot can go wrong here.
Yeah.
And of course it did.
It did.
Yeah. Somebody in Discord, mentioned that anytime we, are thinking about betting on Tommy Fleetwood, we probably should donate to charity. I feel like that probably should. We should just do that.
I mean, I even said it when we talked about it on the show. I was like, he's not going to win. Like, we know he just doesn't win. Like,
yeah.
But at the same point, like, I wasn't betting. I was going to be so furious if Spieth won because I backed off because of the curse. But it was cool to see Taylor Moore win. I mean, he's on my year-long fantasy team, so that's something. You talked about him. Didn't lay a single cent on him. Should have listened to you.
No. Oh, you? Yeah. I mean, I just didn't have any stones to actually go. Do you know why I didn't bet him outright? It's my stupid little how many times have you been in contention. The mix?
But he's and a rookie.
It was three times since like last year.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, all right, like, because I think I mentioned a couple of shows ago. I'm like, I can't remember like a pivotal Taylor Moore moment.
It's true.
Then all of a sudden he starts stuffing his iron shots within like 10 feet and draining the putts. And I'm like, oh, well, we're going to do this again. You know, have the positional consolation prize. Didn't have that right. But you know what? A lot of guys in Discord actually, had a little more stones than I did. They bet Taylor Moore. It was pretty good price, like 75-1 to win. So
Feinberg hit him. I know that.
There you go. Hey, that's good for Feinberg. He's finally off the Schneid. So listen, that's a good win for him. He's a good player. Wish I had a little more on him. Overall, though, for the week, would have been better if who really faded down the stretch? Oh, Dylan Wu. Ooh. Went from, I think, T12 to T56 on my top 40.
Yes.
That wasn't great.
Not great.
Ben Martin missed out by a shot for a top 40, but JT backdoor to top 10. Steven Yeager barely hung on for a top 30. So I ended up making some money on the positionals, so that's all I can really do. Advance next week. And we got a wild week with the final WGC match play.
I can't. It's going to pop up next year. They're gonna do it. They're going to figure out a way.
No, they said next year it's not on the calendar.
It's going to have to come the year after. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, it's so fucking stupid. Like,
I know.
This is, it's so different. Everybody can get into it. And I know there's like TV reasons and things like that that are above my head and I don't fucking understand. Like, bracket golf is fucking awesome. Like, match play golf is fucking awesome. There's a reason why this garbage President's Cup got good ratings, because it's good. Like, the team the team sucked and everybody still watched. Like, I don't know, man. Like, it's I feel like it's a missed opportunity.
Well, the Wednesday,
dick per usual.
Yeah, the Wednesday through Friday, like, pool plays, actually, that's a lot of fun. I know people were skeptical about it when they first rolled it out.
Yeah.
But it, like, you know, there's some clunker matchups on Friday, which is going to happen. But, like, they are staggering it where the ones that actually mean stuff are going to be towards the end of the day, which I kind of like that. You know, and we've had some nice moments too, like on Friday night or Friday afternoon, where two guys are tied, they go to the playoff. Like, what was it last year? There was like, what, 7 or 8 playoffs?
I was going to say, it was like, I knew there was at least 6. Like, it was crazy.
I forget who he beat, but Sergio aced one of the par threes to advance. I think that was a couple of years ago. It was 2 years ago. Group plan, but that was a nice walk off. Nice. I mean, like we'll go over the pods in a little bit. Like, you can kind of see, though, where the omission of the live guys kind of has a little bit of a... It pops up a little bit with this thing. Like, I mean, like, there's been a lot of live guys have been really good at Austin Country. Like, Sergio, Paul Casey's been really good here.
Well, wasn't Paul Casey last year fucked everybody, remember?
Oh,
He fucking didn't play. He just fucked everybody.
See, I was thinking about when you actually appreciate Paul Casey. Somebody was jawing at him. At this event, and he's like, you shut it. And you're like, I respect that, because you hated Paul Casey.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, listen, like, you know, it's a lot of good players. I think there's been some stats floated around about who's actually advanced to bracket play. It's pretty evenly split between, like, you know, who's like the 1 season, 4 seeds in every pool.
Yeah.
What you gotta keep in mind is that those were much better fields. Like, I mean, some of the guys in here, like, I mean, this is basically kind of a preview of what the types of guys we're going to see at these elevated events next year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I still took some risks as far as guys I'm going to be, taking out of pool play. I wouldn't be surprised if we're maybe a little disappointed that it might be a little chalkier, because the competition
last year was chalky.
Was it?
Yeah. I feel like at least half of the 1 seeds got out last year.
Possibly.
I could be wrong. My memory is faulty memory, but I feel like at least half of the 1 seeds got out last year.
Yeah, maybe. So I think it was something like, it's like 30%, I think, of the guys who advance are like a 1 seed or so. Okay. So, but I mean, that's kind of beauty of this golf course. Though, I'll get into a little bit. So I put out my preview. I had a lot of stuff going on this weekend. We didn't get a chance to do a preview episode. Honestly, there's not really much I could really say about this golf course, because I put the reasons why in my article. If you look at who's actually made the final four, there's no real correlation of like the types of guys who've done well at this thing. There's bombers, there's short accurate guys, there's really good putters, good scramblers, like balanced guys, really elite ball strikers. So, you know, the one thing about this golf course is that it does seem like it neuters driving distance. Some of the fairway zones are pretty wide, pretty generous, you can play pretty firm. But overall, though, whatever is kind of like we saw at Sawgrass a couple weeks ago, is that whatever tools are in your arsenal, if you show up to this golf course and, you know, those are firing, and then maybe you improve on a couple other things, like, you can really contend. Like this is one of the tracks that Kevin Kisner just seems to always do well at. Like, you know, there's a very limited set, you know, ones that he can do well. But we've also seen Dustin Johnson do very well here. Rory's done very well. Rahm's done really well here. Or, like Corey Connors last year, like, guy who can't putt, but just
did he beat DJ? He beat DJ.
He beat DJ. Well, because DJ didn't give, DJ crap didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I think he knew he was going to get paid too. So there's a lot of parity. There's a lot of shots like under 125 as well. So anytime you get a lot of wedge shots basically into greens, and match play can turn to a putting contest. That's how, where you can kind of expand a little bit of who can do well here. And you also got to keep in mind that the Masters is in 2 weeks. Do a lot of these top players really want to play up to 126 holes?
I mean, Scotty won this and then went and won Augusta. So
that is true. But you also have Patrick Cantlay, who conspicuously always bombs out on Friday.
Yeah, man. I got a question. We'll talk about him.
Okay.
Because I mean, what a draw he got. Jesus. Like
he did. I put it in Discord. It's the unstoppable force of his ejections on Friday because he doesn't want to play the weekend versus the immovable object of his crappy draw.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and it's funny enough, I actually looked back last year. So he was 1-1. Or no, he had half a point after two rounds last year. And Seamus Power had already wrapped up the group, and then he kicked the crap out of Sungjae on Friday because I think he knew he wasn't going to play the weekend, so I might as well just show up at this point.
Yeah.
But then 2 years ago, he won his first two and just absolutely bombed on Friday. Yeah, I think he lost like 6-5 and then lost immediately in his playoffs. So there's something funny about him at this course, though. Like, I don't know what it is.
Is it Nagels who floated the theory of his bad back and he doesn't want to play all that golf?
I mean, that take is undefeated so far. He has yet to emerge from group play at Austin Country Club. I actually have the stats of everybody. I went back since 2016 and calculated how many points everybody's gotten at Austin Country Club and then their averages. So it's not good at this place. So, I mean, those are some things to keep in mind. We're going to break down all the brackets. We're going to start right at the top after the ad break. So why don't we take a quick break, and then we'll start breaking down the bracket.
All right. Well, listen, WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is now active in Massachusetts and tons of other states. Be on the lookout for WynnBET Win Hour each Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During WynnBET Win Hour, marquee games of the week will have better odds on WynnBET, giving you a larger payout opportunity. And March Madness is here. So many ways to bet on the big dance today to receive a special offer. Bet 100 to get $100. And of course, for our DGens only, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 in free credit. There's so much to choose from, and all you got to do is head over to winbet.com or download the WynnBET app. Offer is subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And the SGP Final Four. The guys are going to be hosting a Final Four watch party at the historic Ice House in Pasadena, California, Saturday, April 1st at 7:30. Get all the details over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/icehouse. And another insanely cool contest is if you guys are looking to hang out with Sean and Ryan at the Stadium Swim, watch the biggest golf tournament in the world. You can win a 3-night stay at the Circa Las Vegas to hang with the boys. The contest is completely free to enter. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/golf party. And if you don't win the contest, you can still get a discount on a room by using promo code SGP15.
Okay. And then one more thing. So we got the Masters around the corner. We also have a little bit of inventory we need to offload from the Golf Gambling Podcast storeroom. We have a tailor-made stealth driver that we're just itching to give away, but we want your help first. So, we're on the peak of the precipice of a couple of milestones for the podcast as far as subscribers, reviews. So here's a challenge to you guys. If we can get 20 more YouTube subscribers, if we can get 20 more Spotify reviews, which basically it's easy. Just star, give us a rating. There's no, commentary you have to give after that. Or if you give us 20 Apple reviews, we get all three of those, we're going to give away the driver on Masters Week. So please help us out. Anything you guys can do, we really appreciate it, but we want to get back to you if you guys, help us out here. So go ahead and, subscribe to the YouTube show. Give us a Spotify review. Give us an Apple review if you haven't already, and we'll give away a driver in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's a pretty low bar to be able to handle that. The response last time for the Masters was bigger than that, so they should be able to handle that.
Yeah, I think we should, but let's start chipping away at that.
Let's do it. All right.
Let's start right at the top. Let's start with the number one seed, Scottie Scheffler. Much better than Purdue, by the way.
Much better than Purdue.
Much better than Purdue. Oh man,
what was the name of that school?
Fairleigh Dickinson in New Jersey. That coach is a piece of work, by the way.
I don't know, man. I didn't watch a whole lot. Because I was St. Patrick's.
You only watched the first half of each game.
That's, but it was on my house on St. Patty's because I had people over. So I like had a, okay. You know, so that was the night game, right?
It was the night game.
Yeah. Tommy was live betting sitting on my couch. And my buddy Pete was like, what have you done to him? Look at him. He's just sitting on the couch.
Was he just live betting Purdue?
No. He was live betting Fairleigh Dickinson.
Oh, nice. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So
Purdue's that coach. He's bad. He's a bad coach. All right, but this is not NCAA tournament.
No. Yeah, let's go.
All right. So the unstoppable force right now, Scottie Scheffler, you just mentioned it, that he won this event and then went on to win the Masters. So a little bit of context of last year, though, I believe he was going for world number one last year. So that was a little bit of an incentive for him to win. Now he's just coming off the Players win. You know, does he actually want to play into the weekend? So he hasn't played a lot of golf. It's been a very jam-packed schedule, you know, with everything going on.
Yeah.
And you know, honestly, I'm looking at the rest of his pod and it's kind of tough. I mean, listen, you got Tom Kim, but if we're going to take, you know, one of the things I looked at this week too was, where are Kevin Kisner courses? Let's get in that mindset. Right. And right off the bat, Wyndham, that is a very Kevin Kisner golf course. Detroit Golf Club, that is a Kevin Kisner golf club. Golf course. Tom Kim's done very well at those. He kind of fits the blueprint of what you're looking for. Very accurate. You know, good iron player. Putter is a little bit up and down. He's been slumping with the irons too. So is that going to come back on a golf course that might, you know, theoretically fit his game? He was very good in match play at the President's Cup last fall as well. So we'll see. Davis Riley's playing very well, and Alex Noren. So I mentioned earlier that I went back and calculate all the averages. In four appearances, he's averaged 3 points in appearance. And that includes like knockout round victories. Yeah. But he's been very good at this golf course because he's really good around the green and really good putter. So Scotty's got his work cut out for him. These are three pretty formidable foes, I think. So let's kick it back to you. What do you make of this group?
So I agree with you. I mean, it's not an easy draw, but it's not like a terrible draw. Like, I know what, like, whatever. What, let me pull up. What the hell's Noren been doing lately?
He's been pretty bad,
right? Like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like I bet Noren last year with the same fucking concept, and I'm pretty sure he fucking bombed
that. Yeah, I don't think last year was one of his shining
moments. No, and Tom Kim, like, listen, Tom Kim and Davis Riley, but whatever. Scottie Scheffler, like, I don't know. I'm just not betting against him here, and whatever. If he gets beat, he gets beat. And I'm not taking Scottie out of the first group.
Okay. Stop doing it. I think I'm going to take Tom Kim, actually. I think I'm going to ride with the fact that I think this is a golf course more suited for a Tom Kim. He was very chalky, you know, a couple weeks ago. I don't think anybody's going to be on him because, you know, he's facing with Scottie. So, really accurate.
He's really cooled off.
He has really cooled off. I'm just kind of putting faith in the fact that I think he's better in what he's showing. He's a little bit of a rut. I think this golf course is going to match him a little bit. I think the atmosphere of match play is going to fire him up. And listen, like, you know, we talk about guys who might not want to go full bore before the Masters. I think Tom Kim actually needs a little bit of momentum.
That's true.
So I think his motivation to actually show well, maybe put up a good performance, can give him confidence for a couple weeks. I think he's my pick for this group.
All right. I don't hate it. Like, I just can't. I'm just not losing any more money betting against Scottie Scheffler. That's it. So
okay.
So the next group is M, Fleetwood, Poston, and McNealy.
Okay. All right. Why don't you break it down first?
I think I gotta go Tommy. I know what he just did
again.
I mean, I think based on, he's good to play. He didn't completely melt down on Sunday, right? It wasn't a complete meltdown.
No, he didn't. You're right.
And so he's coming in really good form. I thought about posting. Oh, and so just so everybody knows, I printed this. I haven't listened to shit today. I printed this thing off 30 minutes before the pod and just filled it out real quick with my first initial reactions because I want it to be like a natural reaction thing. So I thought about posting. I have no faith. McNealy's the type of guy who would fucking win it too, isn't he? Like, just making putts from fucking all over the place. But
yeah.
had to cut the bounce bar, cut the players, Honda, whatever. Yeah, no, I think I got to go Fleetwood and his form. And listen, I like Sungjae, but I don't know, man. I just haven't been getting him right lately. I know he did well at the players and he did okay leading up into that, but okay. This course that fits in. What's his course history here? Because the stupid site I'm using doesn't have the last 2 years. What has M done?
So it's not outstanding. He had a chance last year to advance to group play.
Yeah.
So he got waxed by Seamus Power, like 6-5.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then he came back and demolished somebody else in on Thursday and had a chance. He had to beat Patrick Cantlay. I think Power had to lose in order to advance, and Cantlay beat him because Cantlay, like I mentioned, knew that he wasn't playing the weekend. So he's like, all right, I'm going to try at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't get why Sungjae isn't good here. It seems like this should fit a lot of things as well because he's fairly accurate, good wedge player, good putter, especially on some of these overseeded Bermuda golf courses. Now, I'm not sure if it's going to be a little more overseed or Bermuda, kind of like we saw in Florida. It's been colder in Texas. It might be a little more overseed. Regardless, it's been very good on the surface too, good around the green. Like, there's a lot of ways that in a match play format, Sungjae can either get up and down to have a hole or win a hole, things like that. I mean, you're right with McNealy. He can just get up and down from everywhere. I think so. We'll mention this later. Sungjae, there's an outright price on him that is pretty alluring. But if we're kind of just going like, listen, like brackets, let's have some fun with it.
Yeah.
JT Poston, I kind of played really well last week. Finally got the irons going again. I think he got a point and a half. He didn't advance out of group play last time, but he got a point and a half. So that's pretty respectable for his one time there. But like, you know, I mean, he's really good at Wyndham, good at Travelers, good at Harbortown. These are all like Kevin Kisner, Matt Kuchar courses. So, you know, and he's a fairly good, like, you know, with his wedges, at least proximity wise. Yeah. He can be decent around the green sometimes too. You know, he can get high with a putter. Sometimes it's been a little hit or miss lately. But I think this type of course, I think the fact he played well last week, I kind of like him advancing this group.
Yeah, I like it because that's fine because that's who I was drawn to if it wasn't Tommy. I'm just going to ride Tommy's form.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you think Tommy might be thinking about the Masters, though?
Why? He's going to fucking get a win. He's thinking about getting a win. You know what I mean? Like, at least that's how I would be thinking. Listen, I'm going to get a fucking win. Close again. Can't close. He's not winning.
So if you're holding a Tommy ticket and it's he needs to make this to make a playoff and it's 7 feet on 18, do you feel good or not?
No, I feel terrible.
Then why are you picking him?
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But I'm not gonna feel any better with fucking JT Poston.
Listen, these are just bracket pits. We're gonna do what we actually bet at the end of the show. This is just bracket pits.
Yeah, that's fine. Fair enough.
So. All right. Why don't we go to group nine? Interesting group.
Yeah, I think so.
So you got Jason Day playing really well.
Yep.
Former winner at Austin Country Club. Has not done really anything since, though. I don't think he's actually advanced into group play or to knockout round since his win in 2016. Now,
he's probably another guy who doesn't want to fucking play all that goddamn golf.
Well, that's the thing. He's been... We know the swing changes to help his back. Does he really want to play 126 holes potentially?
Hell no.
I don't think so either. And it's going to be a little cold and windy, which brings me to my next guy, Kawa Morikawa. I know you're off him for sure. The fact I saw this forecast and saw 20, 30 mile per hour winds, thanks, but no thanks.
Yep.
I think I'm, even though he could he do a Corey Connors impression for this place? Sure. Ultimately, though, I don't trust him making a clutch putt to be able to survive 5 straight days and however many matches that would be.
Yeah, agree.
So he's out for me.
Agreed.
You got Victor Perez, who did good, I think, for 3 days and cratered on Sunday. Now, he did finish semifinals here back a couple years ago. You know, really good off
the tee. Is he going to be on the Ryder Cup team?
You know, I think he is going to be on the Ryder Cup team. If he continues having some decent performances over in Europe, I think he will. But really good off the tee, really good putter, so he can definitely drain some putts. Yeah. Really bad around the green. If it's going to be this windy, this forecast, I don't really love that too much. The guy I really like out of this group, though, is Adam Svensson. Just playing really good lately. We talk about a lot of golf courses where a lot of wedges, little shorter positional places like, you know, Sea Island, you know, PJ National. He's been really good at those types of track. He's been good at, I think, TPC River Highlands too. You know, just fairly accurate off the tee, hits his irons pretty well. Yep. He's putting really well too.
Yep.
That's a guy I kind of like for this place. He's playing really well, as I just mentioned. I kind of like Adam Svensson to move on from this group.
I'm 100% with you. That's who I picked as well. He looked real good at the Players, good at API, okay at Honda, looked good at the Genesis. He's a guy who I definitely trust more with the flat stick in his hand than Morikawa. And I just don't trust Jason Day to want to fucking be there. Yeah. I just don't. And I know it's stupid narrative street, man, but whatever. I don't give a shit. And
it's true. I mean, like, yeah. Jason Day's playing really well. Like, he's played really well at the Masters before. He's never been able to get a victory. Like,
yep.
He's got to be thinking, like, oh, he's thinking I can win this thing.
Yeah.
He's so absolutely. Why am I going to waste, like, swings, which I don't know how many I have left in my body for 5 days of this stuff.
Yep. 100% agree with you on that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then the last one to kind of round out this little quadrant here. I think
tough,
this is
a tough group.
I think this is one of the toughest ones because even though some of these are lesser names, they really, really fit what works. Mm-hmm. So you got Victor Hovland, who formidable foe, really good at the Players. You know, I mean, around the green has been an issue, but putting really well, the irons are really good. Yep. Off the tee, I mean, he's got the distance and accuracy here. I think last year he lost in a playoff to I forget who.
I don't remember who,
but he played very well last year. But then you got two guys who are basically the same player who both done pretty well here, who do the same things: Chris Kirk and Matt Kuchar.
Yep.
They are accurate. They are tremendous with their wedges. They are really good around the green, and they're pretty good putters.
Yep.
And it's shown with Matt Kuchar, like kind of like with Kisner. This is the only golf course he needs to show up in, like lately. Chris Kirk in his lone appearance, he got 3 points. I think he lost in the round of 16, but he swept his group. And then you got Siwoo Kim, who's pretty good here, pretty good at Wyndham, good on TPC or Pete Dye golf courses, accurate off the tee, hitting his irons really well. The putter has been cold though, which is a little concerning, but he's had success here. So this is pretty tough. So I guess who are you picking out of this group?
So I was going between Kirk and Hovland. Siwoo, he had what, a T10 here in 2018? What's he done since then? Not much, right?
No, but if you're looking for things that work here.
Oh, yeah, no, I know. This should fit Siwoo. Like, I feel like he should be better here. Like, him, right? Like, why isn't he better here? So, I don't know, whatever. Like, I just don't trust his putter. Kuchar, I just can't.
I mean, he's played all right this year.
Yeah, he's been fine. But Chris Kirk is like a younger, better version of Kuchar.
Okay. How old do you think Chris Kirk is?
He's like 33.
He's going to be 38 in 2 months.
Is he really going to be 38?
Yeah, he's 37 years and 10 months. I mean, that's technically a younger version than Kuchar. Kuchar's 45.
Technically, I'm still correct. Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly. Whatever. Kirk's in better form. So it was between Vic and Kirk for me. And I know I had money on Vic last year. Man, he is just trending so good right now. He is trending so good, and I can absolutely see him going out. That's the great thing about match play. One hole doesn't ruin your whole fucking week. It's just move on to the next one. You know what I mean? So if he chunks one around the green and he does the over, like, who cares? It doesn't matter. He's going to get out and smash the next drive and hit his next beautiful iron, and hopefully he stays it close and drains the putt. Like, so I like Vic a lot.
Okay. I think I'm going to pick Vic too, but I'm a little worried about it because I can see any of these guys coming out.
Yeah, me too.
You know, Chris Kirk is just sticking his wedges and, you know, drain putts. Did he win Colonial too? So he's won in Texas before.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Matt Kuchar has, I believe, won in Texas as well. Yeah, I mean, there's that. Pretty if you good. Want to follow that narrative, it's a tough group. Hobbs has his work cut out for him.
This might be. I'm gonna stab this one because we'll figure out which one the toughest group is. But that one so far is definitely the worst.
I would say so. I think Sungjae's group is sneaky tough because you got McNealy and Poston who can just putt and just get hot.
That's annoying.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I would probably put this one up, and I think there's one more. down the card, I think I would put as pretty tough.
Okay.
So, okay. All right. Why don't we take another break, and then we will finish the rest of the bracket.
All right. Well, that sounds like a plan. We're also brought to you guys by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is heating up for March Madness. College Pick'em is a great way to get in on the action, especially if your bracket is busted after day one. Plus, Underdog Fantasy has your favorite college basketball player props. Head over to Underdog Fantasy. Fantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's underdogfantasy.com, promo code SGPN. And like we said earlier, go over to our Twitter, man. Go like and subscribe, do all that good shit, and we'll be able to get that driver out to you guys mass this week.
Okay, there we go. And then let's talk about Piper golf balls. So I'm going down to Florida at the end of the week. I'm going on a little vacation. I'm going to use my Piper golf balls down in Florida. And it's really going to help my game. It's going to help me around the greens, the extra spin to get me a little closer to the pin. They also have a chart on their website that basically shows you which brand of ball is good for you based on your handicap. So go to piper.golf/GGP. You got 10% off your first order. Use the promo code GGP. You don't have to subscribe or receive scheduled shipments of golf balls at a 50% discount. And you get free shipping on anything over $50. So go to piper.golf/GGP and improve your game.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk. But it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Into that.
Boom. All right. So how long are you going to be down here? You've come to Fort Myers, right?
Yeah, Wednesday through Saturday morning. I'm getting in probably around 3 o'clock on Wednesday, golfing Friday. Nice. I don't think we're going to go to JetBlue Park for the Red Sox game. Because toddlers and kids.
Yeah, that's a nightmare. Do not do that.
We're not going to do that.
Sounds awful.
And we have a very early, I think a 5 a.m. flight on Saturday morning. So that's probably not a great day. I think the game is at 6:05.
I wish it was closer. So. I wish it was closer. I don't want to drive. I don't want to drive 6 hours on a Friday.
It's a big drive.
It's a fucking really long drive. It's fucking miserable. The ride. You know,
listen, I'm going to the Outer Banks at the end of April. Maybe you can drive up in a Nag's Head again.
That's even farther.
I'm giving you options, buddy.
Fair enough. All right. Next group here. So this is interesting one. So you got Homa, Decky, Kisner, and Suh.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like everything else other than the driver looks fine for Decky. I refuse to back Kisner. I refuse to do it. Don't care. Not going to do it. Justin Suh is pretty interesting. I mean, his all-around game is pretty fucking solid.
He was pretty bad over the weekend. Someone who had a bet on him.
Yeah, no, I know. I had a top 20 on him. I'm aware. But what did he lose it on? Oh, shit. Damn, he lost almost 2 strokes, tee to green.
Yeah, it wasn't great.
And 2.5 on approach.
Little bit of a struggle bus. I mean, overall, listen, like, up until last week, things were going really well for Justin Suhville.
Yeah.
Last week didn't go so great.
Yeah, his struggles seem to be off the tee, which shouldn't really penalize him too much here. But
I mean, he's fairly accurate, so
yeah. I don't care. I'm taking the chalk. I'm taking Homa. The kid's a fucking stud right now. And look, he had stones in match play already. Like, yeah, give me Homa. I don't trust Decky. Fuck Kevin Kisner. And I don't know enough about Sud to back him. I'm taking Homa.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, listen, I like Justin Suh. I'm not going to take him to win this group. Hideki, that's also another guy that do we think he wants to play five straight?
No.
I don't think so either. And I'm going to be honest, if Kevin Kisner goes out and wins this thing, I think I'm going to quit this podcast. I'm just going to say that. He has been absolutely atrocious in pretty much every facet of the game, by the way. Yeah. I got him losing over his last 12 rounds, 2.5 strokes tee to green. That's not good. I got him losing about a shot and a half off the tee, about 0.9 with his approach shots. I got him losing 0.15 with around the green. So kind of decent. And losing almost half a shot with his putter. Just everything sucks right now. So if he just goes out and uses his magic beans and goes out and wins this thing, what's the goddamn point of any of this?
Yeah, no, so, I would agree.
And you know what?
That would be the end of my argument for a fucking match play if Kisner fucking won again.
Well, I mean, unless we bring in the Torrey Pines, and then he's got no shot.
That's fair.
I mean, also, this is going to just bring out everybody saying, all right, Kevin Kisner, Ryder Cup captain's pick.
Okay, fuck off.
Let's go. I mean, we saw what happened at President's Cup. He was terrible.
Yeah, awful.
He was awful.
Yeah, awful.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Max Homa was my pick.
He was the only ones I wasn't putting in my fucking parlays, my head-to-head parlays. I was like, I'm not betting on Kisner. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Max Homa is my pick as well. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Scheffler last year. A lot of ways he can just beat you. Yeah. The iron play, really good wedge player, great around the green, great putter. You know, I think he got 2 points last year. I'm not sure if he made it out of group play or not, but it was a good showing for him.
Yeah,
I'll just take the chalk and Max Homa right here.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, the 12 seed. This is interesting.
This one was wicked high for me to pick.
So there's only one guy I don't like. Shane Lowry sucks here for whatever reason. And I'm not really sure exactly why he sucks here, but I got him. He's not even gaining a point in group play. Yeah, in five appearances, he averages 0.9 points per tournament.
Interesting.
So he's been pretty bad. Yeah, Taylor Montgomery, who's making his debut here, but he can just bomb putts forever. Yep. And I mean, he was playing pretty well at Sawgrass, and then just 17 got him.
Yep.
So a little bit misleading form, maybe in the stat category. Like I think like his approach play numbers were horrible, which they usually are, but it's made worse by
17. Exactly.
By 17. Yeah. You got Jordan Spieth, who is coming off. He probably should have won that tournament.
Definitely should have won that tournament.
You know. We've seen him win in the least leading up to the Masters before when he won Valero a couple of years ago. Winner in Texas. So obviously he's from Texas.
Yeah.
Likes the state, apparently. And then you got Mackenzie Hughes, who has been very good at this tournament. He's averaging 2.3 points per appearance at Austin Country Club. I mean, listen, like nothing really pops for him, but just really good around the green, really good putter. It's going to be really windy too the first couple days. And I just can think of so many examples of windy. No one can hit greens. It's an up and down contest. I'm going to be annoying as fuck. Match play opponent, bombing 20 footers. Mackenzie Hughes, possibly doing well this week. And to think about, he's been really good at RSM. He's a former winner there, finished second there a couple of years ago. I think it's a couple of good finishes at TPC River Highlands. Those are Kevin Kisner, Matt Kuchar tracks. I actually kind of like Mackenzie Hughes to surprise and come out of this group.
So I was initially leaning there. He's just been so bad.
I know.
I went with Montgomery. Give me the new toy that hasn't burnt me like Hughes. Okay. Right. I mean, that's it. I went Montgomery. The same thing with Lowry. Like, I didn't know it was that bad, but my memory was like, yeah, he's not good here. He did just get a week off though. And it's tough to bet against Spieth in match play, but he's got to be thinking about the Masters too, right?
He probably, I mean, he's been good here, but I don't think he's gone past the, round of eights.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, give me the kid who is going to frustrate the shit out of people when he's, you know, putting, when he's sinking every 18 footer. You know what I mean? So
okay. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're kind of along the same wavelength. I'm taking Mackenzie Hughes is doing that. You're taking Taylor Montgomery.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't hate that pick. I mean, one of those types of guys are going to advance, like the guys who just makes a billion putts over 3 days. So, all right, let's go to the 13 group.
Yep.
So, honestly, kind of uninspiring. You got Sam Burns, who finally went to Valspar last week and played well. He played all right to players a couple weeks ago as well. Adam Hadwin, who I think has crashed back down to earth. I had a bet on him.
Yep.
I probably should not have done that because that course is mostly Bermuda, and Bermuda and Hadwin don't mix. So that was bad by me. You got Adam Scott, who usually skips this event.
Yeah, why is he playing?
I don't know. Probably reps at this point. Okay. That's another guy who probably has his eyes set on the Masters. Yep. And then Seamus Power, who actually played well here last year.
Yep.
But he's going through that annual Seamus Power sucks like period. Like, like bad at players, really bad at Bay Hill. This happened last year too. And then I actually turned it around here because, like he's a really good wedge player, decent putter, especially on these overseeded surfaces, really accurate. So that could be someone. But even though Sam Burns actually never played this tournament before, I think the fact that I've seen with Burns, whenever he gets like a good finish in him, like off that really horrific stretch, usually he gets pretty hot pretty quick.
Yeah.
I remember last year, Quail Hollow, he was actually really good at match play. He was carrying Scotty Scheffler during that whole thing.
Yeah.
I think he won his, I believe he won his singles match too. So even though kind of the stat like profile doesn't really fit, I think the fact that he's just a really good putter, I've seen him do well at match play, and I think he's coming in good form. I've just recognized his patterns with Sam Burns kind of shows well at that point. You know, and he's won in Texas. He's won Colonial last year. It was really windy as well, so I know he can do in those conditions. I think we're going to take the chalk in Sam Burns, actually. I'm not really inspired by any of the other three. Maybe Seamus Power, but that's really about it.
That's who it came down to for me, was between Burns and Power. And I'm just the steady putter of Burns. Like, he doesn't lose putting. And he, like you said, he's coming in good form. He finished well. I don't think he was ever really in contention. He had a really good Sunday. So maybe ride that Sunday in and give me Burns. My fucking card is looking pretty goddamn chalky. What do I got? I got Scotty.
Yep.
Vic, Homa. And Burns, not all of these guys are making it out.
Yeah. All right, time to get wild, baby. All right, let's move on to what we've talked about earlier. The immovable force was the unstoppable force with the immovable object of Patrick Cantlay's group. Bad group. Nick Taylor has crashed down to earth. KH Lee is kind of meh. And Brian Harman. Oh, Brian Harman. Did you see what happened to him last week?
Oh, what happened?
So I forget what hole it was. I think he took an 8 on a hole.
Oh, nice.
Including, I think he was trying to move a leaf and then ball moved. So he took a penalty.
It's karma for being dicks to the volunteers at TPC.
And he was actually playing well, too, and that just completely derailed him. So he's been really good here.
Yeah.
This irons have just been so, so, so bad. And around the green, he hasn't been very good either. I understand why Brian Harman in form is good here, because shorter course, wedgies, a lot of the golf courses that Kuchar and Kiz are good at, he's pretty good at too. I don't think I can go to him. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. I've seen this movie with Patrick Cantlay so many times. I'm just not going to back him. And like, it's the same thing in what everybody was, everybody fell in love with him at Sawgrass a couple of weeks ago. And he was okay, but he was never really in the mix. He was irrelevant at all. And that's another guy who probably has his eye set on the Masters. And I don't think he wants to play over the weekend. So, and Nick Taylor's kind of crashed on earth. So for me, why don't we go to KH Lee? Two-time winner in Texas. He just, what did he just do last week?
Yeah,
T19 last
week. Oh, 19,
yeah. Valspar. He actually played pretty well at the President's Cup last year.
Yep.
So I know he can kind of do it in match play. I'll take KH Lee to come out of this group.
Same. That's terrifying that we're both on Lee.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, just I mean, I looked at Harmon as well. I bet against him last week, and it worked out. But he hasn't gained strokes with his. Where the hell did it go? He hasn't gained strokes since like fucking January.
It's been real with his play.
It was when the hell was it? Let me pull it up. He hasn't gained strokes since on approach since fuck that since before Thanksgiving, the RSM Classic.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you. No, and he's lost 2, 4, 6, 8 weeks in a row around the green. Yeah, I'll pass on him. And I just don't trust Cantlay or Taylor. So give me Cage Lee, man. Give me the double. I know.
Okay. Nope. All right. And you love Cage Lee too.
I do love Cage Lee.
You do. All right. Let's move to the other side of the bracket. Right back to the top. Yep. John Rahm's group. Now you got the narrative around him and that anytime he gets sick, he wins his next event.
Yeah.
So are you going to back that again?
I mean, I'm not going to bet him to win. Although I did see some 11s and 12s out there, which seemed pretty nice.
He was actually 14 on a book this morning before they readjusted. Really? Yeah.
Hmm. So yeah, if I saw that, if I was a 14, I would have just bet it. Right. Okay. But I mean, look, this is a tough group, even though Billy looked like he's in good form. Keith Mitchell's tough. Ricky Fowler's rounding into shape. I just don't know how you go against Ron. I just don't know how you do it. Same thing with Scotty on the other side. Like, whatever. I'm just going to take Rahm. I'm just not going to overthink it. I'm going to take the best player in the world and call it a day.
Okay. Now, here's the interesting thing about Ricky. Let's talk about him for a second.
Okay.
So he was eligible to play between 2017 and 2019, and he skipped every single time.
Hmm.
And his lone appearance here didn't go all that good. He got 1 point in group play.
Okay.
Maybe just doesn't like it here. Yeah. So that's another guy, maybe just like Jason Day, that I've been really good at Augusta. Do I want to go 5 straight days? Maybe want to peak in a couple weeks. So that's out for me.
Wait, is Ricky in the top 50 in the world right now?
Yes, I believe he is.
Oh, my God. Ricky's going to play Augusta? That's hilarious.
I think he got in. Hold on. Let me check.
Yeah, he's 49, so that would make sense.
He's 59, actually.
Oh, 59.
So okay. Maybe, although that, well, then maybe he's not in.
Yeah, maybe he's not in.
Maybe I got to rethink that then. Anyways, Keith Mitchell, I mean, good and pretty winning conditions. I'm a little worried about him burying enough putts, though.
Yeah.
So
we already saw this movie a couple weeks ago. Him versus Ron burying putts.
Yeah. And then Billy Horschel, I can't do it.
Can't do it.
So I guess it is Ron for me. Yeah. Really good here. Kind of like with a couple of guys I mentioned tonight, a lot of ways he can beat you. The iron game, around the green putting. The one concern about him though, like his worst attribute is definitely his wedges. So that's a little concerning, but I think he if what happened to players, I think he's going to want to come out with a good showing, at least for a couple rounds. So I like Rahm in this pod.
All right. I like it.
Okay. All right.
Yep, pretty easy.
Let's go to the 15 grouping, which after what's ruined. Happened.
Ruined.
Yeah, I was all ready to pick Cam Young, too. And I mean, I'm worried about an injury scare now with him.
Double cursed.
But otherwise, this is kind of an ugly bracket. So Corey Connors, who I don't know. I don't understand why he was so bad at Sawgrass after a really good showing at Arnold Palmer. That should have been a golf course for him. Do I really want to go back to Corey Connors? I know he finished third here last year. I know typically he's pretty good on putting on overseas surfaces, but I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. Sepp Straka, I mean, I know he finished fifth at Honda. Kind of crappy his next two tournaments. There's some things I like about Straka that could possibly work here.
Yeah.
So that's a maybe. Davis Thompson, it seems like ever since he hit the flag stick on 17 at Stamkos has been pretty bad.
Yeah.
To the point where I actually dropped him from my season one fantasy team. So this is why don't you pick? Because I don't think I've really decided yet.
Yeah. So I just held my nose and picked Connors. I'm not listen. It's and it seems dumb to just avoid Cam Young, but it's a double curse. Thank you, though. But he did just get Webb Simpson's caddy.
He did. That's actually huge. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why Webb decided to move on from him. And that's it's curious because Webb actually played well last week.
Oh, maybe he knows he's fucking in the twilight, and because they're boys, right? They're like friends.
Yeah, they're very good friends.
So he's probably like, "Yo, go fucking hook up with the young kid and go make money for another 20 years." I'm fucking. I'm discing my back every time I fucking take a swing or something. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? Like, all I don't right, think it was. Maybe. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, that would make sense to me. I don't know.
I know. I mean, they said it was amicable.
Yeah. We'll make some money, man. So, because maybe Cam Young hit him up and he went to Webb and was like, "Hey, man, you know what, boys? This guy has got 20 years. You got two, and I don't want to go to the senior tour. You cool with us splitting now?" You know what I mean? Like,
yep. Yeah. All right, I think I'm gonna go just to be different from you. I'll go Sepp Straka.
Straka, yeah.
The iron play looks pretty good. I mean, he can putt on these surfaces. That's really about it, though.
Yeah, whatever.
It's
just a nothing.
Yeah, I don't particularly like that group at all. So,
no.
All right, let's go to Tony Finau's group.
All right.
Tony Finau, Kurt Kitayama, Adrian Meronk, and Christian Bazenhout. Finau's been bad here too.
Yep,
averaging under 1.4 points per appearance. Which listen, like it seems like what Tony is right now should be a good fit for this place. The fact he's never been good here, he's got the Masters in a couple weeks. I know I'm probably going to be betting him for the Masters. I don't know if he really wants to go full board this thing. So,
so
he's out. I mean, Kurt Kitayama, I just don't think that's a good fit for this type of place.
Okay, why?
I mean, he's a bomber.
Yeah.
So doesn't really. I mean, his iron's been okay. He's
terrible. Iron's been good.
I don't like him for this place. I don't think this is a Kurt Kitayama track.
Okay.
Adrian Meronk, who, I mean, he's been okay. He's good around the green. He's got some okay putting numbers. And they got Christian Bazenhout, who is playing okay and can get up and down from anywhere. And he's a good putter. So I think I'm just going to take that, considering it's going to be windy for 3 days. He has not been very good at here, but he's been good at some other PDI courses. I'm just going to take Bazenhout. Kind of ugly, and that's it.
Yeah, that's fine. I guess I just hate him. I can never play him. I don't know enough about Meronk. Tony stinks here for whatever reason. I'm going with the recent winner, Kurt Kitayama. Like, I know he's a bomber, but he played well in the wind there. You know, when he's putting well. I'm not going to hold the players against him. And the three, including the Aaron Palmer, his three previous, he was gaining over 2 strokes putting. His irons look fine. I'm gonna go ahead and ride the kid who had the balls to fucking to hit that shot in 18 and then drain that fucking huge pot to a big boy tournament. So give me Kitayama.
All right. To each their own. All right. Let's go to group 7.
This group is gross.
This is a gross group. Zalatoris, who I guess is on record for saying, "I just want to be ready for the Masters." So this is a scrimmage. I don't think he's going to be wanting to go full bore for this thing. Ryan Fox is actually playing pretty good. In the States. You got Andrew Putnam, who is not. And you got Harris English, who is going.
Not.
So he's pulling the Tagala right now. It's good finish, bad finish, good finish, bad finish. So we're on pace for a good finish.
Okay. Match play.
Only one appearance here. I mean, you know, he scores well from under 125. His proximity numbers kind of suck.
Yep.
But good around the green, good putter. I could see that kind of working. I think we go Ryan Fox, though. The iron play has been really good. He's been putting really well lately. I'm going to go with him. There always seems like he's one of these like DP World Tour guys. He's Australian, but like the DP World Tour guys that emerge and. I'm gonna take him. I think he's just playing good. So
yep.
I don't really have a strong opinion on this group. What about you?
There, I landed on Fox by attrition. Same thing. I don't trust Zalatoris wanting to aggravate whatever injury he's got going on. Putnam stinks. Harris Inglis. I just can't. Like he popped. Was it API where he did good? Let me look at English.
Yeah, he finished second there, and then he was horrific last week.
And he charged. He charged on Sunday. Fucking T12 at Genesis, but I just went with Fox just because of the form and being able to trust him. Yeah. Although I might be able to get back to English.
Yeah, I mean, like if English is good, like one Travelers, second TBC Boston. There's been a lot of guys been good here, then good in Boston.
Yeah,
you know, some good finishes in Texas. He's got A second Colonial, like a third at Wylie, a fourth at Wylie. So yeah, like a lot of these tracks where just bunters do well.
Yeah.
And he definitely can get it done. I don't know if I can trust him for three straight days of like to be able to get out of group play.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, I would agree with that.
I'm going with Ryan Fox. So what the hell am I talking about?
Yeah, exactly. I hear you. I just landed on him as the fault as well. So fuck it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. The sixth group.
Yep.
So should be a group that Xander emerges from. I think he finally won a group last year.
No, he didn't. But he fucking lost in a playoff.
Did he?
Yeah.
I thought he got to the knockout.
Fucking some bum sent his ass home too because I had Xander. I remember. I don't remember which bum sent him home.
So I remember he lost to Scotty the year he finished second.
He got bounced by some bum last year.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Last year he only got a point last year. Okay. I stand corrected.
And it was a bum too. I can't remember who it was, but I remember viciously texting Jeff. Your fucking guy sucks. He couldn't even beat him. Like that was hot.
I'm sure that was taken very kindly.
I'm sure it was. I'm sure that's why there wasn't animosity for
him. I mean, again, Xander's another guy with maybe an eye to the Masters. He hasn't playing all that.
He's meh. Meh.
Yeah, he has been kind of meh.
Meh.
So I guess you could make the argument like a guy who needs some good showing is for the Masters to get some confidence going, but I don't think this is the place for him to do it. So,
I agree.
Cam Davis, who finally showed well at the Players, possibly could be a Ponzi scheme. This is how he lures potential investors to him. And then,
he said he was sick and he'd been dealing he was dealing with some sort of sickness over the last month and a half.
Okay.
And that he feels good now. And I was like, well, that's pretty easy to say after you had a good finish.
It is.
Yeah.
I still don't trust him. Aaron Wise, I guess it scares me because he's all putter now. So he could
terrible.
Bomb away. He's terrible. Bad.
He's bad.
So the guy, I like Tom Hoagie.
Oh, God.
I mean, accurate off the tee, really tremendous wedge player. He's putting well lately. We just saw him do well at Pete Dye Golf Course. I like Tom Hoagie a lot this week.
He set the fucking course record.
I know he did.
At Sawgrass, he was on
with no one watching He was on the wrong side of the golf course.
I know, man, crazy. Yeah, so I'm on Hoagie too. We're on green on way too many. Xander from the Scott tissue last year, he's just playing net. Wise is a complete fucking no. I was thinking about Davis because he did show, and it's like, is it real? Is it real? I don't know. I'll give it another week. I'm gonna take Hoagie coming out of there. Because like you said, the wedges, I mean, Hoagie with a wedge is fucking ninja. He's deadly.
Yeah. I mean, the case for Cam Davis, third at Harbortown last year, seventh at Colonial last year, sixth at Players, ninth at Wylie.
He does so well on these short golf courses. It makes no sense.
Yeah, he's a bomber. He's like a better version of Thomas Dietrich, basically. Like Dietrich can't show up on any long golf course, but one of these bunter tracks like Bermuda or something else, like he'll do great.
Weird. It's so weird.
It is weird. Sense. So maybe I'm overlooking Cam Davis a little bit, but
maybe. Yeah. Dude, he gained almost 5 strokes putting last weekend.
He did.
Oh, not last weekend. Sorry. At the
2 weeks ago.
Players.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go with Tom Hoagie though. I think this is.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Hoagie.
Okay. Yeah, I think he can do a lot like Corey Connors did last year. If Corey Connors can do it, Tom Hoagie can do it.
Fact. Maybe he can get a new grill in the meantime.
Maybe.
If he wins this one, it's a $3 million, go get a new grill.
All right. All right. Group 11, this is ugly. Matthew Fitzpatrick. Can we talk about Matt?
I think this group is wicked intriguing.
Intriguing?
Yeah, for the two guys. Like one of two guys is coming out. Yeah, okay. Two guys. Yeah.
All right. Excited. Can I tell the world what I told you about Matthew Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
I even broke down like Zapruder film. So I've had the theory that his irons are all jacked up because of the speed training. And there was one shot, he fanned it like 40 yards right. And he had like 3 straight iron shots where he was just leaving the club open, coming over the top and just swiping at it. He's almost hitting like close to the, like, the heel of the club. There is a mechanical flaw. Listen, I'm not Butch Harmon. I'm not Brando Chambly. Even I can tell, like, there is something wrong with that swing. So maybe he can get with his coach and fix it, but like, his iron numbers are putrid and he's hitting them poorly. And he's not putting or scrambling well enough to overcome it. So I'm out on Matthew Fitzpatrick. I don't know what's going on. It's not good though. So yeah, I mean, you got JJ Spahn, who's won in Texas. I don't really love what he's doing with his irons lately. So he's out. So it comes down to Gala and Minwoo Lee. I'm going Minwoo Lee. Okay. I'm going to go with Mr. Volatility. And listen, he can blow up on a couple holes, but you know what? He bounces right back with a birdie. It's a good putter too. I guess you can say the same about Tagala.
Yep.
But I'm going to go with Minwoo on this one.
Yeah, so it was between those two for me. Like, I'm super excited to see which one of these guys comes out. I cannot wait for their fucking matchup. That shit better be like an ESPN Plus like featured one, because that is going to be exciting. Those are two guys who just fucking go pin seeking. So I'm excited for that one, and I'm taking the other side. I'm taking all of them, man. I know we fizzled out at the Players, but the same reason you're taking Minwoo is the same reason I'm taking Zeith. And I like to root for him. I have a longer relationship with rooting for Zeith than I do Lee. So, and look, I mean, he got ate up at the Players over the weekend. Prior to that, he was trending pretty good. Yeah, that's gonna be fucking fireworks, man. Minwoo Lee and Zeith, the guy. That's like must watch matchup.
Okay. All right, let's go.
Am I the only one? Are you not excited to watch those two play against each other?
No, I am. Oh, okay. I am. Okay. No, I think that can be really volatile, like really just like crazy.
Yeah it's going to be awesome. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Like Minwoo cards a nine and then he gets an eagle on the next.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff exactly. Like that. And that's what I want. Dude, that's why match play is the shit. Like, you're allowed to just forget your last fucking hole and go make the next shot.
This golf course is so good for match play. God, it sucks that they're leaving. Like, I understand that the members there were also being jerks too, but like,
crazy. Why would they
it just sucks. Well, because I don't think they liked having the golf course taken over by the PGA Tour.
Fucking oil barons.
I mean, listen, man. I mean, dudes are expensive, you know? All right, let's go to group 14 with, I think, the chalkiest pick of the week, Hatton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Everybody's got him at 40-1.
Yeah. You got Ben Griffin, who is everybody's chalk regardless.
Yeah.
You got Russell Henley, who should be good here.
But he's not.
And they got your boy Lucas Herbert.
He did good last year.
He did do good last year. He got 2 points.
Yep.
Guy can just putt. It's gonna be windy too.
I know.
Are we tempting you?
No, he's in bad form, man.
Is he gonna go parasailing across Lake Austin there with that little ear?
Turn it up. I gotta go.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, look, it's chalk for a reason. I'm not gonna get cute. It terrifies me that literally everyone on fucking everyone is on him. Like everyone, which is. And for whatever reason, isn't this a course that I remember texting you after he was like, I'm going to have a couple beers because this course doesn't suit my eye. And isn't this where I got like the initial text to you? Where I was like, I need to know what fucking courses don't suit his fucking eye, even though he did okay last year.
No,
like,
it's Augusta.
Oh, no, I know Augusta. But I think he said that about here, too. I want to say it was about here.
Did he? Well, that's
I'm pretty fucking sure. Yeah,
that's
yeah. So, I mean, look, the 40-1 number is good. I couldn't get it because whatever. So, I'd be fine with that. He's super chalky. I don't know how you go away from him here. I don't know how you do it.
All right. So I guess I will have to dig that up if that's true.
Yeah.
But I do know that he hates Augusta National. So you talk about a guy who has nothing to look forward to.
This is very true.
That's Terrell Hatton. Like, this is his best opportunity for a paycheck. Although he's playing Valero next week.
Oh, okay.
So that's interesting. Yeah, Ben Griffin, who actually does some things that might work well in last week, because he's really good around the green and a great putter. Yeah, Lucas Herbert, who, you know, he's good in wind. You know, Russell Henley, though, had a good showing with the Players. You have T19. And he finally got his irons back. Yeah, T19 at the Players. Hit his irons pretty good. He gained, he did pretty good tee to green. And talk about a guy who really good with his wedges, really good around the green. The putter has been a little dodgy for him over the last like year or so, but it hasn't been horrific lately. I think I'm actually going to go Russell Henley out of this
one. Okay.
Because he fits a lot of the, listen, you think about the Kevin Kisner, Matt Kuchar golf courses, that's a Russell Henley type golf course. And I don't know why he hasn't been better here. I think the fact he finally turned his irons around at Players, maybe good things are on the horizon, right? He did something similar too, like before the CJ Cup, like he finally had a good tee to green week and then he won Mayakoba like a couple weeks later. Maybe something like that's in store for him now. Like finally, like he had a good tee to green week. Maybe he's going to have another good finish. So I'm going to go Russell Henley out of this group.
Okay. All right.
Surprised you there, didn't I?
You really did. So I'm pulling the interview now of Terrell so I can see if I can find exactly what he said. So this one obviously didn't hold as many putts. Happy I never gave holes away, which is easy to do out here. It's a funky golf course.
Oh
no, that's not it. I'm just saying that it's going to be something.
I think that might be the quote then. Now I remember when you said that. I'm like, well, that can mean a lot of stuff.
Maybe, could be.
Yeah, and he's been good here too. So I don't know if that really holds water. Like he's averaging about 2 points a tournament here, and I think he's advanced twice.
Golf is a funny game, especially around this place. It's an interesting golf course. Certainly, anything can happen. You don't even have to do anything wrong to even make a bogey or a double. Wind kind of uses whatever direction it wants to go in a split second. It's not consistent at all. So it obviously presents quite the challenge, and anything can happen. This does not sound like a man who likes, here's another one. When it hit, when I hit it, it goes down off the left and then it carries over the tent and trampoline effects onto the 15th fairway. So, yeah.
Okay.
You need a hell of a lot of luck involved and stuff. It would be nice if there was some actual drop zones. Oh boy. He does not seem like he likes this place.
Well, then you know what? Maybe I need to change my one and done pick.
I forgot to do my one and done last week.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I fucking didn't put in either of them. I just completely forgot. Okay.
I think I had Fleetwood in the Mayo Cup. I'm actually doing pretty well in that one.
Yeah, I stink. I stink at one and done again. I cashed like.
It's because you don't have Cam Smith around anymore.
It's fair. Yep. Fucking fair point.
It is. So, all right. We say the best group for last, Rory's group.
Boo.
Rory is the 3 seed. You got Dave McCarthy and then Keegan Bradley.
Yeah.
Also in this group.
Mm-hmm.
And then Scott Stallings. I'm not really sure how Scott Stallings got in this field, but Scott Stallings is here. I'm just going to disregard him because Scott Stallings.
Because he's Scott Stallings.
Exactly. Scott Stallings. Honestly, I know you're not going to like this. Keegan's putter has got a little cool again.
Yep.
Yep. So,
Andy was the reason he withdrew was because he was viciously fucking ill, apparently.
Oh, was it that stomach bug that Rom just gave everybody?
Yeah. Like he was viciously ill. Good. I'm taking a break off of Keegan, even though Keegan's like that psychopath who like would absolutely like seems like he would take this way too serious. It's a Ryder Cup year. He wants to get on that fucking team, which would be nice. For my bank account, I hope he does not make the fucking Ryder Cup team.
Yeah, he hasn't been good here. He's averaged a point per appearance in 3 appearances. Yeah. So he hasn't been good.
Yeah.
So, all right. So let's talk about Rory.
Yeah.
Terrible players. Obviously, he had a lot of meetings that week. A lot of administrative stuff. And he actually came out, I think, afterwards saying, like, I need to do a better job being focused on actually playing golf. So here's my question. Did he mean that and he's going to come out this week and win? No. Or is this going to be preparing for the Masters, which really matters for him?
Preparing for the Masters. He's not going to win either. He's using it as a fucking excuse, just like he wanted to use his equipment as an excuse and why he didn't do well. He's just a crybaby.
Okay. Now, this golf course as well, by the way, you always have mentioned this. This is the one where he hit into the pool.
Oh, this is the one where he hit into the pool. He was against Poulter. Yes. Poulter smoked his ass.
Yes, he beat him badly.
bad. I think he made it to like, what, 11?
I don't think it made him that far.
I don't think it made it that far. Yeah, exactly.
Holter killed him.
Yeah,
this is the pool.
Fond memories.
So maybe he's got some demons there. So, I mean, I'm not going to pick Rory because I think I agree with you. I think it's mission win the Masters.
Yeah.
That's 100%. What it is. So, he's not playing. I don't think he's playing Valero next week. This is a tune-up. This is a warm-up. We'll go from there. So I kind of had a theme. How about Denny McCarthy?
Let's go.
Drains a bunch of putts, playing well lately, plays a lot of these types of shorter Kevin Kisner, Matt Kuchar golf courses really well, like your Pebble Beaches and your Harbor Towns and your Travelers and all of those other BS rinky-dink golf courses on the PGA Tour. Plays those well. I can see him just draining a billion putts, upsetting Rory, and then getting past Stallings and Bradley.
Love it.
And moving on.
Same exact rationale. Give me the guys who can putt. I've been on the last 2 or 3 weeks. I've been getting close. Like, it's so much more comforting to have guys who can putt.
Okay.
It really is. And yeah, you know my feelings on Rory. And and if Keegan was that sick, I guess I can't remember who it might have been, Sobel, who was talking to him, but he said he could like hear it in his voice. And I was like, okay, match play for Keegan. Yeah, and that was a late withdraw too. So he was already skinny as fuck. If he got like the flu and diarrhea, like how he's gonna come out and he's gonna look like he's been doing a kilo of blow a day.
Jesus. Okay. All right. So we're done with the bracket. So why don't you recap exactly who's in your final 16?
Yeah, then we'll just run through the next ones and we'll see who we got. So I got Scotty coming out, Fleetwood coming out, Svensson, Vic, Homa, Montgomery, Burns, Lee, Rahm, Connors, Kitayama, Fox, Higala, Hatton, McCathy.
Okay. All right. So we do agree a little bit.
We do.
All right. So I got Tom Kim facing JT Poston. I got Adam Svensson playing Victor Hovland, Max Homa playing Mackenzie Hughes. I have Sam Burns versus Cage Lee, John Rahm playing Sepp Straka, Christian Bazane who playing Ryan Fox. God, that's going to be a ratings bonanza. Tom Hoagie playing Minwoo Lee and Terrell Hatton playing Denny McCarthy. So who is in your Elite Eight?
All right. So I got Scotty beating Fleetwood. I got Vic beating Svensson. I got Homa beating Montgomery. I got Burns beating Lee. Yes, Burns beating Lee. And then I got Rahm over Kitayama, Thigala over Hatton. No, wrong. Have backwards. Hatton over Thigala. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I have Tom Kim beating JT Poston. I have Adam Svensson upsetting Victor Hovland.
Okay.
I have Max Homa beating Mackenzie Hughes. And I have...
Oh, I missed. I did the wrong ones. I went through the quarterfinals.
Hold on.
I just did the quarterfinals like an asshole.
Okay. All right. Why don't I go through them? All right. So I have Tom Kim beating JT Poston. I have Adam Svensson beating Victor Hovland. I have Max Homa beating Mackenzie Hughes. And I have Sam Burns defeating Cage Lee. Over on the other side, I got John Rahm beating Sepp Straka. I have the immortal Christian Bezanin beating Ryan Fox in just a barn burner of a matchup. I have Tom Hoagie advancing over Minwoo Lee.
Okay.
And they have Terrell Hatton being Denny McCarthy. Those
all right, so I did the left side correct. Scotty over Fleetwood, Svensson over Vic over Svensson, Homa over Montgomery, Burns over Lee, and then I for whatever reason my brain went to the quarterfinals. So then I got Rahm over Connors, Kitayama over Fox, Thigala, Hoagie, and then Hatton over McCathy.
Okay, all right. Who's in your final four?
Well, I gotta go back to the other side. We'll just do the quarterfinals again. I think they'll be able to pick up because we didn't do the quarterfinals.
I know. Well, now we're doing the who you advance to the final four. So this is it.
Oh, gotcha.
Yes. Who's in your final four?
All right. So Victor takes down Scotty. Homa takes down Burns. Rahm takes down Kitayama. Hatton takes down Thigala.
Okay. Kind of a chalky final then. Mm-hmm. Final four. Okay. All right. I have Adam Svensson beating Tom Kim. I really like Adam Svensson this week. I have Max Homa beating Sam Burns. I have John Rahm taking down Christian Bazanhut, and I have Tom Hoagie defeating Terrell Hatton.
Okay.
Who apparently hates his golf course.
Yeah, I can see that. I might be able to switch that around a little bit.
Okay. All right. Who's in championship?
So I got Vic beaten, and I got Hatton beating Rom.
Okay. So Victor Hovland versus Hatton. Who's your champion?
Vic.
Okay. I have Homa defeating Svensson, and I have Tom Hoge beating John Rom. So
really?
It's Homa versus Tom. I like Tom Hoge this week.
Okay. All right.
So I got Homa versus Tom Hoge. Give me Max Homa.
All right. I
think he takes down WC match play. I think there's a lot of ways he can win.
Yeah. I like it.
So, cool. All right.
Yeah. I'll dive a little deeper. I'll probably do a couple different brackets. Like I said, I did initial first thoughts, half hour. You gave me some shit. Or I should think about Hoge a little more.
Yeah. I'll post this bracket in the Discord.
All right. Cool.
All right. Let's go over betting though. So listen, that was just a fun bracket, you know, whatever, but how I kind of approach my outright betting card this week is a little different maybe with the bracket. I kind of look more of a like, okay, scenarios of making through the bracket, trying not to pick guys who are going to meet before the quarterfinals, except for one exception.
Yep.
So who have you bet outright this week?
I've only got Vic and Homa so far.
Okay.
I'm at 25 and 22 because I couldn't get the hat and fucking 40, and I'm not betting him at 22.
Okay. All right. So I have Hatton at 40, although I'm not feeling great about it. Now that you mentioned that, now I don't feel good.
Yeah.
I have the option to cash out, and I can replace it with a Hovland at 28.
I like it.
I think I'm going to do that. All right.
All right.
Hatton, you're out. Hovland, you're in. Okay.
Boom.
All right, so Homa 22-1, Hovland 28-1.
Nice.
Sam Burns 42-1.
It's a pretty good number.
Sungjae Im 43-1. Kim 55-1. And Tom Hoge 80-1. I think those are good numbers on Sungjae and Tom Kim and Burns.
I might sprinkle a little of that Hoge. 80 is sexy.
If he can find it now, he's mostly like 65, I think, other places. But
I don't care. I don't care whatever. About 10 points, like whatever.
Okay.
I live in Florida once again. I take what I can get.
Yeah, I like Hoge. All right, so Hatton's going to be out.
Okay.
Hovland in.
Cool.
All right, and then I'll probably end up betting winners of groups. Those haven't come out yet. But I have bet some top four prop, basically like in each way. Tom Hoge, top four, 14-1. Adam Svensson, top four, 25-1.
All right. I like it.
Why not?
Yeah, man.
I weigh a couple of units. Not going crazy on it, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Full card will be out later in the week once all the stuff comes out. Well, I guess it'll come out tomorrow.
Yes, it will.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
So. What time does this fucking thing start?
I think at like 10:15 on Wednesday.
Nice. Love
it's on to like 7 o'clock.
Yeah, I know.
Beautiful day. It's not all day.
Beautiful day. All right, man. Got anything else?
No, that's it. I am probably going to be quiet on Discord this week because I am going to Florida, like I mentioned. I will be back on Saturday where I will pound out the Valero Texas Open preview. And then we'll go back to our regular schedule programming, 3 shows next week.
That's it. All right, man. Well, fucking RIP match play.
Yes.
For at least 1 year. Hopefully the PGA pulls their head out of their asses and comes back in 2025. But go read Steve's. We'll have our cards out tomorrow on socials. Go follow on YouTube. Come hang out with Steve and the boys over in Discord. You can hit me up on Twitter at Boston_Capper. Other than that, it's WGC week, baby. I hope to God it's not the final one. Let's cash a fucking win. Let's fucking win.